$29.92 for delivery or carryout. Order online at Marcos.com with or without the app.
Become a Roar Insider. Get the scoop with the Roar newsletter and a chance to win prizes. Log on to WCCPFM.com and click on the newsletter banner from the Roar.
Have you with us, the Health Dare, 1-877-I-DARE-ME. Get in touch with the Health Dare at idareme.com. Let the Health Dare take care of some things that could be bothering you right now. You know, if you have symptoms of type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, sleep apnea, a second person is always free. They want to help build your immune system by getting rid of some of those things that take away from it. Don't do this alone. Again, the second person is always free. There's a money-back guarantee at the end of the process if it's not working for you. Call today to find out how you can reverse those and how you can make your immune system stronger. As a result, it's 1-877-I-DARE-ME, or you can go to idareme.com. To our guest lines, where we go now, to the BigSpur.com's Tony Morrell. Tony, good morning, man. I hope you and your family are safe. How are things in the Morrell household?
Still hanging in there. So far, so good. Hope the same for you guys.
We are. We're blessed. There's no doubt about that, we're blessed. Let's begin with the Westlake High School, Atlanta, Georgia, decommitment, DeMario Williams. What happened there? What went down there? How strong did you think it was beforehand? And what does it mean to the, the program of losing? And is it over with DeMario Williams?
Yeah, I think it was just a scenario where he committed too soon. He realized he wasn't ready to end the process. He wanted to take other visits, see other schools, and just wasn't ready to be committed to just one school. So, he plans to return to South Carolina this summer for camp, assuming that camps take place, and, visit some other schools and then, make another decision later in the process. I think South Carolina is still in it to some degree. Tavares Robinson has developed a pretty good relationship with him, but I would say more often than not, when you see a player decommit from one school, I'd say he's more likely to end up elsewhere than he is back with South Carolina. But if they can get him back on campus and remind him why he chose Gamecocks in the first place, they've got a shot. But I would probably lean towards him ending up elsewhere.
Does it he was a true cornerback. Is that right, that they liked him really at cornerback?
He played more safety than corner in high school, but South Carolina actually viewed him as a cornerback, which is a strange scenario, but sort of sums up some of the approach they've taken in the secondary that hasn't always worked with safeties and corners. But they had him in camp last summer and worked him out more as a corner and felt like he had the skill set to play there, but he played primarily safety at the high school level.
Second part of that then would be, what's the board look like, and how many would you take, and what does this mean to other prospects on the board at cornerback?
Yeah, I think they would like to take 3 or 4 defensive backs in this class, and the approach they took last year, which I think is the one they want to take to get this year, taking versatile guys who can be cross-trained to play multiple positions in the secondary, not just a pure corner or a pure safety. In just about every other year, South Carolina has waited until camp, because I think Will Muschamp and Javaris Robinson put so much emphasis on having players in camp, particularly guys in the secondary, to work with them. Make sure that they're fit from a skill set standpoint, make sure they can learn and are coachable and just all the things they're looking for in a player in the secondary. And, now just not knowing whether camps are going to take place or not at this stage, I think that's going to put South Carolina staff in a position. We're going to have to make some adjustments, maybe take some chances with some offers on players that they, you know, aren't quite sure about, and you know, that could pay off or it could hurt them. But you know, I guess all the schools are going to be in a similar boat. But I think, you know, South Carolina in particular with this staff, they really have put a big emphasis on camp and have made a lot of their offers in camp. So it's going to be interesting to see how things play out there, you know, in the secondary and at other positions.
I got an email after that decommitment last week, and I emailed back to the Gamecock fan that I would yield to you on this, a tune in at this point in time, or catch it on a podcast if you can't catch it live. The email was critical in two standpoints, and one I'm not sure is fair, one I think might be fair. The first one was on the number of decommitments that Muschamp has had, and I'm not sure that there are more. I know Miami has a lot of those, and Florida State's had some of those, and Florida gets some of those. Different parts of the country, you see more of that. He was critical of the commitments, but I mean, I see Georgia get it sometimes. Is this, and he talked about doing more harm than good. Is that fair, or is South Carolina pretty much alone, though? Is he just noticing it because he's a Gamecock fan and not, is it outside the norm of what we see about a lot of other teams getting decommitments?
I think South Carolina, I don't have a list in front of me, but I think that under Will Muschamp, they have really not had a ton of decommitments. There have been a few here and there, but I don't think there's been a long list of decommitments, and in a couple of cases, they've had guys decommit and end up still signing them. You know, I think what they have had happen last year, especially, which may be what this what the emailer was referring to, is they did have some silent commitments who actually went through, you know, made commitment videos to South Carolina, went through the whole process, and then ended up, you know, committing to another school, and it came time to go public. Now, they have had that happen a couple of times, but, you know, that's part of the process. It's going to happen, especially when you're recruiting out-of-state players, especially highly rated guys. You know, it can be tough to hold on to those guys in some cases. But, yeah, but that's just the way it worked out. But I don't think they've had, especially, you know, players who've actually committed publicly, I don't think they've had a long list of guys who have decommitted, but I think he's probably referring to some more of those guys who were silenced that they did not end up signing.
I didn't think about that, but I agree with you. I didn't think that was a fair criticism of saying – I didn't think they had any more than most schools have. The other part of it, I do think, does have some validity to it when he talked about Muschamp seems to take a ton of under-the-radar is how he described it. I'm going off the top of my head now without reading the email, but he said, you know, a lot of – type guys, and that they thought higher of a lot of players than other people might have thought of, or maybe even recruiting services might have thought of, and he was kind of critical of that. I can kind of see that a little bit. It does seem like they've taken some guys, and the guys end up not contributing. You do get under-the-radar guys that do well, but is that fair to say that that the staff has done a lot of that under-the-radar and more of evaluation recruiting?
I think that's fair in some cases. I think they certainly have had their share of misses. Of guys that, like you said, who they've signed that they thought were going to be good players who really did not pan out. I think they've had a better hit percentage on players like that than maybe the previous staff did, particularly in the latter part of Spurrier's tenure. But I do think they've taken some low hanging fruit at times. But in this case, in this class, they may not have any choice but to take some players like that just because you know, they're coming off a 4-8 season in year four, and you know, they don't have a long list of really highly recruited guys who are looking to come to South Carolina right now. So I think evaluations are going to be especially important in this class, and they're going to need to hit on more guys than they miss on in terms of you know, players they are taking who may not have a ton of other Power 5 offers.
Last week, we talked an awful lot about offense and where some of those offensive guys are and where the program looks like and what those rooms look like right now. Let's shift our attention, if we can, to defense, begin with the defensive line. Where is this program now along that defensive front, the defensive tackles, defensive ends? Where is it and getting a Birch in there and a Pickens in there and a Sanders and some of those guys? You feel pretty good about where they are in the defensive lineman rooms?
I do. I think they're really making some progress up front on defense. And, you know, we've talked in previous segments about how important it is to be good up front on defense. It's really hard to to be good on that side of the ball if you're not good up front. And, I mean, it affects the linebackers, it affects the secondary, it affects the entire defense. And I think they're, you know, some of the guys you mentioned are going to play the big roles this year. And Zach Pickens has the biggest shoes to fill, stepping into Javon Kinlaw's position. And I don't think anyone's expecting him to replace Kinlaw's production by himself. But I do think he's a player to watch as someone who could take a big step forward in year two and really significantly increase his production. Rick Sandage is coming along. Kingsley Magbare is coming along. Had a good year last year, and I think he's primed to have a better year and take a step forward this year. They get Keir Thomas back, a player that has played a lot of football for him, made some big plays in big spots, and you know, pretty much missed the entire season last year. A little bit at the end of the season, but really nothing meaningful. And to get him back, and you're excited about him from a leadership standpoint and just an experience standpoint. You know, Brad Johnson missed most of the year last year with injury. He was a player they were really counting on to help him from a pass rushing standpoint. He missed most of the year because of injury. He'll be the bust this year. And then they've got a lot of other pieces, young players that they feel like are developing. You know, Barry Ellis, Devontae Jenkins, Tyreek Johnson. You know, a lot of players that they think are going to be in the rotation this year. Jordan Burke, once he gets there. So, you know, I don't know that they've got any, you know, big standout, first round type pick right guy right now like they had with Kinlaw going into last season. But I think they have a lot of pieces and should have a good rotation in the camp to keep fresh players on the field more often in 2020 than they did the last couple of years.
You, Tony Morell's our guest, thebigspur.com. We'll tell you how you can subscribe at the end of this segment. You've talked about forever now affecting the quarterback and more of a pass rush. Are we starting to see a little more of that? I felt like last year they kind of got to him a little bit more. I'm not sure what the stats say, but I felt like they've been affected more than they did maybe a few years ago.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think it was where it needs to be, but I think they're on the right track, and I think they're getting better with that. I think the thing they didn't do last year, this is just on the defensive line, but they weren't disruptive enough in terms of forcing turnovers. They really, you know, were way behind in the turnover battle. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but, you know, they lost it pretty significantly when you look, you know, cumulatively over the course of the season. They gave up the ball a lot more than they forced turnovers. And that's another area where I think unless you're just super talented, it's tough to win football games consistently if you're losing the turnover battle. So I think that's an area they're really going to have to focus on this year and get back to some of the things in previous years. But if they can put defense on the field, they can affect the quarterback and force turnovers, then I think they have a chance to look like a defense that's more like what Will Muschamp wants to have on the field, just in terms of what you've seen from him historically throughout his career.
Where are they right now in year five going at linebacker? Your thoughts on what they've got there?
Well, Ernest Jones is a guy that had a really solid year for them last year in the middle. Really came on. And I think he's going to be a stalwart for them in the middle. A guy they know they can count on week in, week out to not only be in the right place at the right time, but to get his teammates in the right place at the right time. And that's always important with your middle linebacker. I think, you know, replacing T.J. Brunson is going to be the biggest job for them at linebacker this year. I don't think Brunson was a great player necessarily, but he was a productive guy that you know, played a lot of football for him and had a lot of experience. They're going to be, you know, less experienced there this year. So, you know, guys like Jamar Brown and Sherrod Green, who played a good bit last year, are going to get looked there. We'll see, you know, if they can find a guy who's ready to step into those shoes. They've got some talented freshmen coming in. Muhammad Kaba is leading the way there. Eric Shaw could end up at linebacker. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him. Player that I like a lot on the defensive side of the ball, but he also plays offense. I think linebacker is still a work in progress. I think it's still an area where they have to get faster in some cases. And just think, I think they need more athleticism than they've had on the field the last couple of years at linebacker. But But you can linebacker, I think, in today's football is a position you can. I don't think you have to be great at linebacker, but I think you have to be good and be at least sufficient there and have guys who can hold up against the run and not get lost in coverage. But you have to have the right defensive line in front of them and the right secondary behind them.
You need to be great in the secondary. What are the thoughts about this year's secondary?
Well, man, they're obviously really high on J.C. Horn. And Israel McQuamu, to a little bit lesser degree. They feel good about those two guys returning. I think they would like to play McQuamu a little bit more at safety this year if they can, but for that to happen, they're going to need to have some guys step up in the secondary, the cornerback, whether it's John Dixon or Cam Smith. They're going to need to have three guys they feel good about there, two starters and an initial or two starters and a backup there. And then they feel like they can play McQuamu more safety to help them there. And, you know, Jamie Robinson is a guy that had a little bit of a year for him last year, and they think he's only going to be better in year two at nickel. He could also play a little bit more safety this year than he did last year. He started, you know, shifting a little bit towards the end of the season, playing some safety, some nickel. I think we'll probably see that again from him this year. They've got, you know, Shiloh Sanders, the player that made the transition from corner to safety. O'Donnell Fortune, a true freshman. Dominic Hill's a true freshman. Both of those guys were in school and were going through spring practice prior to the suspension. Then R.J. Roderick is a guy who played a lot of football for him the last 2 years at safety, and they're hopeful he can take a step forward there. And then they've got Jalen Dickerson back. If he can stay healthy, I think he's got a chance to help him at safety. But it's just been a big challenge for him, so it's hard to count on him too much. But if he can't stay healthy, I think he's got the talent to help him.
Maybe I'm wrong. Correct me on, like, I got Roderick. Roderick's a big hitter, makes big plays, but kind of got picked on at times in the passing game. Is that a fair evaluation? And can you see him actually being a stalwart there, or do you have to move McQuamu back? And it seems like, I mean, Roderick is a pretty key part of this whole equation.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think last year he got caught trying to make the big play too many times, you know, trying to make a big hit or going for an interception when he should have just gone for a tackle or tried to break a play up, and that hurt him on occasion. Somebody who tackled better as a true freshman than he did as a sophomore, which is unusual, but I do think you're right that he's a guy that there's some pressure on him to step up and be a better, more consistent player, I think would be a better way to put it. I think he had some good moments for them last year, but was not a consistent player and got out of position from. So I think if he could be more consistent and do things the way Will Muschamp wants him done at safety, I think he's got a chance to be more productive this year than last.
Tell us about thebigspur.com. I know things don't slow down at your house, your office. I know you guys got a lot of stuff going on. Tell us about what's happening on the site and how folks can subscribe to the best in Gamecock coverage.
Yeah, you know, we're having to get creative with content right now with no sports to cover, but we're doing our best to get consistent content out there, whether it's on recruiting or, you know, looking at players on the team, looking at past teams, past players. We're trying to get as much stuff out there as we can to give all the people out there that are reading the site a little bit of a reprieve from everything else that's going on in the world. So it's still a great time to join. We love to have anyone out there who's considering. Just go to the Big Spur and bigspur.com and become a member today.
Awesome stuff, man. Hey, I've got some more topics for you next week. We'll get creative with that as well. Hope things are well. People subscribe to get to thebigspur.com. Tony, thanks an awful lot, man. Hope you guys are safe and have a great week.
You too.
All right. That's Tony Morrell of thebigspur.com. Prime Lending, primelendingsc.com. Speaking of getting creative, let them do that. They got creative with my refinance. I mean, with my remodeling, I should say. When I went to Mark after we went with him and we refinanced years ago, and then I said, Mark, we want to come in. Well, I'd love to gut this place. What kind of budget am I talking about? And he goes, well, let's go on future value and what it's going to be worth and borrow off of that. And I said, I love that idea. And then the rates that we got were amazing. And matter of fact, he told me the other day that, well, I don't need to refinance because the rates that we got back then were awesome. Think about that. It's Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com. If you're buying a home right now, they're the best. If you're looking at remodeling and putting some money in your home right now, they're the best. Refinancing, they're the best. Think about it. Get in touch with them. Put them on your favorites. This volatile world that we're in, this volatile markets that we're in, these volatile rates that we're in, just stay in contact with them and see if there's a way that they might be able to save you and your family money at a much-needed time. It's Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com. Prime Lending office right near you right now, and I got to tell you, it's just nice doing business with people rather than over the phone, over the computer, and having these good, solid people in your community. Not really shaking hands right now, but not really in front of you right now, but boy, they will get back to that and get back to what they do best, and they serve in this community with good people there, no doubt about it. PrimeLendingSC.com. John, we come back. Let's look at where South Carolina and Georgia ranks in the SEC East, like where they should be based upon all the factors and their potential. Much more in your turn right after this.
In communities across the upstate, throughout South Carolina, and across this country, your local and small businesses are what really drives the economies where we live and work, shop and go to school, worship, and take part in daily activities. As we all come together during these challenging times, The Roar urges you and yours to continue to support your local and small businesses as much as you can while still following the CDC's recommendations. Over the years, you have become their customers, often telling other Roar listeners like yourself that they should shop and use those local businesses who not only cater to you, but also employ tens of thousands of your fellow men and women. We are one nation under God. And now, more than ever, we want our community to know that here at the station, we are here for you and for each other. And we hope you will all do the same. God bless. And thank you for supporting The Roar.
Nothing beats the first bite of a Cajun filet biscuit, except the second first bite. Drive on through and get two for just $5. It's bow time.
Have you searched all over for your family's vehicle and can't find it on the lot? With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Proudly serving the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers and home with a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new vehicles. Conveniently located at 3510 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson and only 25 miles from Greenville and online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Warm weather is ahead. That means look out for those summer thunderstorms we see in the upstate every year. Don't let bad weather and snapping tree branches leave you in the dark. Be prepared with a Generac automatic whole home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Pro Power Premier dealer, ready to serve you. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment. Tell them Mickey from 105.5 sent you.
Located at 134 Exchange Street in beautiful, historic downtown Pendleton, the Blue Heron offers only the best selection of meats, sushi, sides, farm-to-table flatbread, drinks, and desserts. Featuring an upscale seating area and bar to catch all the big games, their daily menu specials and happy hour fits every craving. 134 Exchange Street, downtown Pendleton. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram at Blue Heron Restaurant. Visit BlueHeronFood.com for full menu specials and more information. That's BlueHeronFood.com.
For 25 years, Husqvarna Automowers have been the best-selling worldwide. With the Husqvarna Automower Crown Commitment Program, you'll enjoy your weekends and know that if you're not satisfied with the performance of your Husqvarna Automower within 60 days of purchase from a Husqvarna dealer, return it for a full refund or exchange. Easley Lawn and Garden offers Husqvarna Automowers as well as the expert installation and service you need. Trust them to get you set up with the right Husqvarna automower just for your yard. After all, Easley Lawn and Garden has been your trusted local source for nearly 40 years. Let a Husqvarna automower do the work while you relax. Easley Lawn and Garden, your local Husqvarna automower professionals for sales, installation, and service. For all your power equipment needs, veteran and family owned and operated. 312 South Pendleton Street, Easley. Online at easleylawn.com.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
Limo and Doug.
Check it out, Limo. Got a brand new motorcycle jacket and matching leather pants. Now let's go for a ride and tell everyone that Liberty Mutual customizes their motorcycle insurance. So you only pay for what you need. Oh my gosh, this leather does not breathe well. You can't suffocate in leather, can you?
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
Medical malpractice is the third leading cause of death. If you or a loved one have been a victim of medical malpractice, you need the professionals at Parham Smith and Archinold on your team. Parham Smith and Archinold focuses specifically on medical malpractice and have handled some of the largest cases in the upstate. They have offices in Greenville, Spartanburg, and Charleston. 242-9008. Parham Smith and Archinold, specialists in medical malpractice.
All the sports that's fit to air. Brad and Ben in the Press Box. Weekdays from 9 till noon on The Roar.
There's a port on a western bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Granger Nissan of Anderson wants you to stop by and see them. They'd love to take care of you. They have a bunch of awesome vehicles there right now. It is our great friends over at Granger Nissan of Anderson. Tina, book a test drive. Go by. If you have any questions online, we're doing a lot of online stuff now. You know, we are doing a lot of online shopping right now. So why not go to GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com? I'm looking right now, 387 vehicles. Is that what I'm looking at? Their complete inventory right now? Just a bunch. You can shop by payments online. Camille's looking online right now to help you out. Yeah, 387 vehicles at Granger Nissan in the inventory right now. What a huge lot. So you drive off with the car that you want today instead of ordering it or looking around and having to go around and get somebody back in. Search all of their new specials, their previously owned specials. Search everything online. Their new models. Man, that Armada, that 2020 Armada. I could see myself behind the wheel of those. And with gas prices right now at $1.29, I'm loving that Armada. It's Granger Nissan of Anderson.com. To our phone line, 654-ROAR, 864-654-7627, to Rock Hill, where Drew joins us. Hey, good morning, Drew. How you doing this morning?
What's up, Mickey? How are y'all, man?
Man, we're blessed. I hope you guys are safe and okay.
Been playing golf lately?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that's what, without golf, I don't know what I would do. I told my wife, this is true, in a perfect world, I'd like to play 2 weekdays and 1 weekend day. So 3 days a week is I don't want to play more than 3 days a week, but last week I played on Wednesday, and then because I thought, man, the government might shut it down, my wife said, just play whenever you want to play. So I played Friday and Saturday, and I was supposed to play Sunday, and I was like, you know what? I burned out, man. Can't play 3 days in a row, so I'm trying, man. How about you guys? Y'all getting out at all?
Yeah, I've been doing it about once a week. I'm getting tired of putting with the flag stick in the hole. I can't make a 5-footer. I feel like I made a half cup.
Yeah, but at least we're getting to putt at it right now. And I had a shot the other day. We've got little swimmies down in there now, the little foam things. And I swear, I think the swimmy kicked my ball out of the hole, but I don't know. Who knows?
Well, hey, I was talking to John Friday afternoon, and I was like, man, I need to bring Mickey in on this. So if I could tell you right now with 100% clarity, football will be back this fall. But Clemson's going 6-6. Would you take the deal?
No. No. I'd rather not play than go 6-6.
Now, if I told you baseball was going to start tomorrow, but the Yankees were going to lose every game, would you do it?
Yes. Yeah, I would give up. Well, no. All right. If you told me the Yankees would lose every game, but Clemson would get to play football this year, yes.
all right. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be tough. There would have been years in there to pass where Clemson football go, yeah, I'll take 6-6 just to see it, but not right now, man. If Clemson's going to lose 6 football games, hope that's over by the next 10 years. So I don't want to see them all in one season.
It's making me nervous that we're not going to get to do this.
Well, here's what you got to do, Drew.
Of all the years.
No, here's what you got to do. You have to to ignore Barrett Saley and ignore Kurt Herbstreit. And you got to look at the good news that's out there. We are these treatments that are working and the FDA is approving, and these positive signs that the social distancing is working is one thing. The other thing is, and maybe we delay it, I don't know, but we need revenue at the college athletic level. And if they can get the thing done, they're going to play football because they've got to have money to support everything else. And so much like the rest of our world, the economy is so important. We're going to come back, you know, maybe a little sooner because of the economy. Same thing in college athletics. We can't – college athletic departments can't survive without football this year. So they're going to play it. And it might be – we might start in October. Heck, we might start in January. I don't know. But we're going to play college football this year at some point in time.
So – back to what I was saying while I was talking to John, here's kind of where I found my line at. Curious where yours is.
All right.
10-2, no playoffs. I would take it.
I mean, I guess I can't imagine being happy about that. You know, like everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Like when I walked in the grocery store the other day and I actually got hamburger meat, I was like, yes. And it was like not very lean, but I don't care. It's like, we have hamburger meat. Yes. Losing two football games. Yeah. Right now I'd like to say, sure. But then who are they going to lose to? I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't want to see Clemson lose that. So I don't, that's a tough question with Clemson football.
Just a fun conversation we had.
No doubt, man. No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. So 10-2 is yours. I'm gonna get John's here. Hey, Drew, man, thanks for calling in. It's a good question, man. I appreciate you calling in.
Be good, man.
All right, buddy. So John Height, where's your line?
Man, I don't know. So when Drew called me the other day and we were talking, it was like Friday afternoon, he posed it to me. He started with the NFL, and he said, if the Steelers went 0-16, but you got football back, and I just started laughing. I was like, sign it up. I don't care. Steelers can go 0-32 the next 2 years if that gets us football back. But when it got to Clemson, it's tough. If the roster wasn't what it was, if you didn't have Travis Etienne returning for his senior year and Trevor Lawrence for one more year, I don't know if there's, you know, he said 10-2, no playoff. Man, I don't know, because in 20 years, I'd be sitting back looking on and said, man, we could have won a national title with that roster.
Yeah.
It's tough, but for the greater good. 11-1 with a weird loss to Virginia, and you still beat Notre Dame and South Carolina, and you win the ACC and go to the playoff. How does that sound?
I'll take that for sure.
Even though that would be in Death Valley, so that would also be painful.
Off the air during the break, you mentioned to me, all right, Drew wants to talk about this, and here's the topic. And he goes, what would you give up? I was thinking like my left pinky. Like, I've got 9 other fingers. I have 1 other pinky. Like, I could do with.
The Mays family's doing just fine.
Yes. I'd give the tip of my pinky.
You give it like to Cade Mays' dad. Well, you can sacrifice yours to give it to him, you know.
Can you deaden it first, though? I don't want to go through the pain of it. Like, just give me a shot to deaden it before you chop it off. I mean, I'd Ronnie Lott you. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my goodness.
So, I was thinking, like, shave my head.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, get the tattoo.
We know how tattoo bets go around here, so maybe we don't want to bring that up.
That wouldn't be good. I was not thinking 10-2. Oh, the audacity is for someone to actually suggest that Clemson might go 10-2.
But I told Drew the other day, it's like, now if the roster was, you know, when I was in college, maybe a little before, 6-6, buddy, before you get college football. No question.
But then you'd
asked.
Say this, if you could go 10-2, what would you do? I go, well, my left pinky is shaved, my hair, I might get a hair, you know, tattoo.
Back now then, you go 10-2, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, now I'm thinking, I'd rather not watch that if it's got to be 10-2. What two teams could beat them? Notre Dame and who? It's tough. It's tough to think about. I don't want to think about that. Again, if you are a Corona bro, and if you are convinced that there's a lot of reasons why you could try to convince somebody. There's enough bad propaganda out there. There's enough of CBS News filming Italian hospitals and that, like it's New York City out there right now. You can get caught up in the, oh, no, we're never going to play, not happening, what in the world would we do? But a lot of reasons why we think we will. And I'm going to err to the side of we will play. Scott's in Greenville, 654 Roar. Hey, good morning, Scott. Thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, man. I hope you are, too.
I am. Hey, y'all just ran a commercial that says that WCCP is here for us through these times. And I need to know how I take advantage of these services. I know that you're on through the day, man, but I cannot watch any more movies like Steel Magnolias, Driving Miss Daisy, Fried Green Tomatoes. Who, Dr. Mickey, who or what can I do about this, brother?
Here's what you got to do, all right? Are you you're going to work? You're not working at home, are you?
I work in and out of home. So
okay.
Yeah, I'm there sometimes.
Okay. Have you cut all the grass and trimmed all the hedges and cleaned out all the garages that you can?
Brother, if you've seen my honey-do list and the check marks coming off of it, I have to do half of this stuff though. I get on my lawnmower and I go cut grass and I put my headphones in. And somehow, Steel Magnolias comes through the earphones.
No. See, you got it on a cloud. All right. So, see, here's the difference in me and you right now. You get on your lawnmower. I get behind mine, man. I push mine around here. So, but yesterday I got me and Jamie Johnson cut my grass. So you got to get a little Jamie Johnson in there, man. A little, I don't know, a little Merle Haggard in there. Get your little Willie Nelson in there. Y'all get out and cut the grass together.
I'm going to tell you what happened. I come in the other morning, and I threw my blue jeans at her, and I said, put these on. And she said, you know I can't wear these. I said, you're right. You won't wear the pants in this relationship. So later on that evening, she threw her underwear at me. Put these on. I said, honey, I can't get into that. She said, you never will.
Like that. I was going to ask how the divorce attorney turned out for you. How that litigation go with you? So mediation go with you. Mm.
Yep.
Good stuff, man. No, look. Hey, you got to you got to play golf. You got to go fishing. You got to go biking. You got to go running. You have to go do something. You got to get outside. Now, not today because it's going to rain. But, man, you got to get outside, man. You got to enjoy this. If you got allergies, I feel bad for you. But you got to enjoy nature a little bit with this thing.
No, you do, man. And I tell you what, they talk in April 30th, and that's going to turn into May, and then you just never know. Cause you know
No.
March 31st.
No.
That's the date.
No. Here's the thing, all right? Everybody got depressed yesterday. Some people online are like, oh my God, June the 1st in Maryland and Virginia. Well, that's not a hard date, man. That's not a, that date, they could walk that date back. See, the strategy there was, instead of saying 2 weeks, then 2 weeks, then 2 weeks, why not put it out there too far? And then when we find out we can come back earlier, we can walk it back and say, hey, guess what? We're lifting. Everybody goes crazy. Well, all right, it's euphoria. Instead of, well, we're going to send it 2 weeks. Let's send it 2 weeks. So don't get caught on that June 1st date, man. Don't let them get you down, man. Don't let them beat you.
I ain't done yet, man. Got a lot of fight left in me, man. Even if I do have to watch The Notebook 25 times between now and then. But
The Notebook might be the worst. Yeah, that might be the worst. I can't help you there.
Mm. Yeah, I know it.
That ain't
anyway,
good.
I missed Drake this hour, man. Sorry about that. I'm on now. If he gets on, I'd love to hear.
All right, I'm going to try to get him out here for this segment. I'm going to try to get him out here for sure.
All right, man.
All right, buddy.
See you,
buddy. Thanks, my friend. We'll take a break. You can't. The Notebook. Any of the stuff, the rom-com's not bad, but you get some of the sad stuff, man, you can't do that. You gotta get out of that. You don't, let me put it like this, John. You don't watch Clemson losses, do you? No, you only watch the Clemson wins. So why would you watch a sad movie? Can't do it. Short break, we'll come back, wrap things up. Final segment right after this.
Hello, sports fans. This is Bozy Boggs of the Boggs Law Firm, located in Greenville, South Carolina, but serving the upstate for over 20 years. We've always been happy to be long-term sponsors of the Mickey Plyler Show, WCCP. And just thank all the listeners who have used our firm in the past. And anyone who has a legal question in the future, don't hesitate to call us at 233-8066 or find us on the web at www.boggslawfirm.com. No case is too big or small, and I'd be happy to talk to you personally about your situation. And if I can't help you, I'll find someone that does.
I'm a dodo fan.
I'm a GameCop fan.
Could you imagine living in a house like this?
Making choices is hard, but choosing the right countertop doesn't have to be. Star Granite Interiors has been in business for over 50 years. We use the latest in
technology.
No matter how you say it, we use the best equipment to ensure a quality experience. Not to mention our customer service is second to none.
Call our dad for a free quote.
Call Jeremy Revis at 864-304-4249.
If you're a mattress shopping, you must go visit Engineered Sleep on Congaree Road in Greenville. Each mattress is made in-house, and the showroom has the most popular models for you to try out. Engineered Sleep makes your mattress shopping easy. Every local mattress order is delivered to your house, and setup is free. Buy local and buy direct from the manufacturer. Visit EngineeredSleep.com for more information. That's EngineeredSleep.com. Sleep like a lamb, rise like a tiger.
For 25 years, Husqvarna Automowers have been the best-selling worldwide. With the Husqvarna Automower Crown Commitment Program, you'll enjoy your weekends and know that if you're not satisfied with the performance of your Husqvarna Automower within 60 days of purchase from a Husqvarna dealer, return it for a full refund or exchange. Easley Lawn and Garden offers Husqvarna Automowers as well as the expert installation and service you need. Trust them to get you set up with the right Husqvarna Automower just for your yard. After all, Easley Lawn and Garden has been your trusted local source for nearly 40 years. Let a Husqvarna Automower do the work while you relax. Easley Lawn and Garden, your local Husqvarna Automower professionals for sales, installation, and service. For all your power equipment needs. Veteran and family owned and operated. 312 South Pendleton Street, Easley. Online at easleylawn.com.
The Capital One Quicksilver Card is simple. No need for a whole song and dance. Don't be sad. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. That's the spirit. The Capital One Quicksilver Card is simple, unlimited 1.5% cash back. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
This is for the men who never settle. The ones who miss the fairway all day and still pull out the big stick. The type of guys who will always prefer to be behind the grill than in front of the camera. And the men who never let their friends forget about a high school nickname. This is the Lodge Mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Hungry for something new? Come into Twin Peaks today and try our new menu items that are straight from the smoker, like the Smokestack Burger.
We're like family here. Crazy Uncle Eddie style family, but family. You're listening to The Roar.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. Out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch, but it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
Welcome back, glad to have you with us. Drake's not happy with his daddy right now. Welcome back. Hey, can you say hey dada? Say hey dada. All right, we'll try this in a second. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Welcome back. Glad to have you with us here on a Tuesday. Let's get back to our phone lines. Jimmy from Spartanburg is up next. No Jimmy. All right, well, we won't do that then. Jimmy, call me back. Love to hear from you. I didn't get to the SEC. You want to do those now, John? We have time, maybe?
Sure.
To do those now? 654-ROAR, in case you want us to get in the final segment of the show. Here's just quickly, we could probably spend more time on this a little bit later on, but just quickly a little bit about the SEC East. And I think Vanderbilt's a very difficult job, and I'm not sure Vanderbilt will ever be anything. James Franklin had a pretty good run there. Kentucky, the same situation because of basketball. Kentucky's a basketball school. Can we agree there, John? Those are the tier three type schools there.
In the East, yeah, I'd agree with that.
All right, I put Missouri in that same list. Simply because it's not an SEC fit, it's a Big 12 fit, and it's a big population base in Kansas City and in St. Louis that are, you know, fairly close by, and they're essentially located in the country where they can kind of recruit some different areas. I just don't have respect for the program as of yet right now, and I know Pinkel did some really good things there, but John, I'm not sure that this is a great program and a great potential program. Where do you see Missouri?
I think if Gary Pinkel didn't have to retire, unfortunately, due to health reasons, that this would be a completely different conversation.
Yes.
He had them rolling, winning multiple division titles. I think if he could have maintained that success, but now I think you're right. I think it's kind of fallen by the wayside there a little bit.
And I put South Carolina in this, and then this is just for me noticing, I mean, 45 years of watching it. It's a difficult job, 47 years of watching. It's a difficult job because of Georgia and Florida and Tennessee, because of Clemson, because of self-inflicted wounds a lot of the time there through it all. They do care about it, and the facilities are good, but still it is a difficult job, and I put it in that category. I think they're better than Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Missouri year in, year out. They should be, but I don't think that this is I still put this in that very difficult job.
I would as well. I think that if you're a South Carolina fan, you should expect to be better than Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Missouri. But outside of that, in the East, I don't think they should expect to finish higher than that year in and year out.
Tennessee, I put in that next category of the good programs. They should be better than they have been as of late. They probably shouldn't have been as good as they were through some of the years of the Johnny Majors or of the Philip Fulmers in there. There's just not enough players in the state of Tennessee. Tennessee is growing, and you got some major metropolitan areas in Memphis and in Nashville and the growing areas there. It is centrally located to a lot of areas that you see with, you know, they can recruit South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, Alabama. So they do have a pretty good deal there, but they just don't produce a whole lot of in-state players. They care about it there. Matter of fact, it's amazing they've been as bad as they've been for as long as they've been. But I put Tennessee in that next, like, good category, but not elite category. Fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you should put them ahead of the other members of the East, but they definitely should be behind Florida and Georgia.
Yeah. I put Florida and Georgia in the same tier here. And the amazing part of it is that they're very seldomly are they good at the same time. But I think that almost everything you can say about Georgia, you can say about Florida. Georgia has one advantage in that they're really the only major school there in the state. They compete with Georgia Tech a little bit, but it's nowhere near to where you see Florida having to go up against Florida State and Miami, and sometimes Central Florida, South Florida through some of those schools as well, some things as well. So that's Florida. That's Georgia's major advantage. The Florida advantage, though, is that there's more players in the state. And I don't know, maybe Georgia has slightly more potential. Do you feel like one might be ahead potential-wise of the other?
I think Georgia, by a very slim margin, because of the reason you just said, that in-state recruiting, Florida's fighting off Florida State, Miami, as – you know, Georgia, you're just fighting off Georgia Tech. I will say they do have a very similar situation where they're both having to fight like crazy to keep people out of their state.
In the SEC West, I put Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas as tough jobs for kind of the same reason. Now there's more players in Mississippi than there are in Arkansas, and more population based, more of that. But Arkansas is by itself, and whereas Ole Miss and Mississippi State can compete against each other, Ole Miss and Mississippi State do a good job in the junior college ranks there. But with that said, it's still, when you're comparing the rest of the division, what they're up against, how things work there, I think those three jobs I put fairly similar, even though I've seen Oklahoma, I mean, Arkansas have more success than the other two. I still think it's down there in the bottom three with those things as far as those tough jobs go.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on this.
All right. I felt like Auburn and Tennessee are kind of the same program. Auburn's had more success as of late, but because of the in-state deal there with Auburn and Alabama, and because of LSU and A&M, and people are going to think I might totally disagree with this, but I put Auburn below Texas A&M. I put Auburn in a good category, not great category. They've got the sleep. I mean, they've got the giant in their state every single year. Now, they can recruit Georgia and they recruit Florida, but, man, every single year you got to go up against Alabama head-to-head in that state with so many people in that state being total Alabama people first. I don't think the Auburn job's a great job. I think it's one of the hardest jobs in the country.
I also think it's a very difficult job because of self-inflicted issues that they have
there.
Yes. I think that they don't they view themselves differently every single year, and they hold Gus Malzahn and their coaches there to kind of unrealistic standards from a football standpoint.
You're exactly right. And when Auburn is great, it's either when they A, cheat, or they make really, really good people make really, really good decisions. Auburn has doesn't have a lot of margin for error. And people, I put A&M, LSU, and Alabama in the elite category. I'm going to shock you here. I put A&M ahead of Auburn. I think A&M, resource-wise, if they just don't screw the thing up, A&M should be better than they are.
They should, and they should be better than they have been over the last 20, 30, 40 years. They have the money. They've always had the resources, but they're in 7-5, 8-4 team. I'd probably put Auburn ahead, but I can see the argument with A&M based on the resources that they have.
Put it this way. Auburn has been ahead of A&M, but I think A&M should be ahead of Auburn. If A&M would get their ducks in a row.
I get that, yeah. They should be, but they certainly haven't been.
All right, I'm going to shock you with this one. I think LSU has as much or more potential than Alabama.
I'd agree with that. Based on the stadium, the fan base, the resources, yeah.
There's no in-state competition.
Correct.
There's more players. There's more players in Louisiana. You're closer to Texas. You got a rabid fan base. I think LSU should be as good as Alabama. And if I could be the coach at one, I'd be the coach at LSU rather than Alabama.
I would too.
The expectations are always out of hand to Alabama, even though like you're going to win it and still be great. I don't know. I thought I'd be more of a shock for you than that one. Alabama's been better than LSU, no doubt about it, historically speaking.
Oh, 100%.
But I think potential-wise, I think LSU's program, the only thing is Alabama cares more about it a little tiny bit, and then Alabama hadn't made the mistakes that LSU's made. I mean, one of the most amazing things about LSU is that if you go back and look at it, that they've had some terrible teams in the last 30 years, and they've been some of the most underachieving. We talk about Georgia underachieving. Now, what helps you is LSU. You've won SEC championships, and you've won two national championships, one with Les Miles and one now with Coach O. But there's a lot of things in there. Outside of that, man, they have underachieved a ton in the past 30 or 40 years.
They have, but I feel like they've also been able to mask it with some BCS bowl games and kind of, it just doesn't seem as
right
underachieving as Georgia.
I agree 100% with that.
There's some optics ways to hide it, but they still have underachieved. I mean, what have we been saying about LSU for 10 plus years? Yep. And if they could ever figure out the quarterback position, how elite would they be?
Yep.
And the one year they figure it out?
Yep, no doubt. Great point. Brad Hughes, my Allstate agent. I'm a good hands with Brad Hughes. I'm a good hands with Allstate. I can call him at 292-3001. I can email him, Brad Hughes, at Allstate.com. I can get in touch with him, BradHughesInsurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to my good friend, Brad Hughes, and the Allstate Insurance Agency. We forgive someone in sports every single day. Today, I'll forgive Drake for sleeping in until 9 o'clock yesterday. Didn't get a chance to come on the air, and he's with us right now. Can you say, hey, Dada? Say, hey, Dada. Nope. He's going to be really, really quiet. Hey, Drake. Nope, he's all into the telephone right now. On the other side of this, though, John, I'm going to forgive the folks in Las Vegas because they're putting out conference lines right now. Conference lines or conference odds. And so I have the college football odds for you right now. You ready? Who do you think the favorite is in the American Athletic Conference?
Central Florida.
Right, Central Florida for sure. Central Florida is 5-4 odds right now. Memphis is 9-4. No, you can't touch that, Drake. Sorry, buddy. Cincinnati is 3-1. Navy and SMU are 14-1.
Where are my Pirates? How bad are the odds?
100-1 in last place.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah, telling me there's a chance.
Let's go.
Hey, Dada. Clemson, the favorite, obviously. Yeah. 1-6 odds. Who do you think is second in the league?
North Carolina.
Miami, 15-2.
Oh, I should have known. It's always, from a betting standpoint, it's always Miami, but it never will be Miami.
North Carolina at 10-1. Virginia Tech at 12-1. Florida State, 16-1. Big Ten, you have Ohio State's 4-9. Michigan, 7-2. Wisconsin, 9-1. Penn State, 10-1. In the Big 12, Oklahoma's 4-5. Texas is 3-2. Oklahoma State 6-1. Conference USA, Western Kentucky 2-1. And in the MAC, hey, Drake, Ohio's 13-4. Mountain West, Boise State's 1-2. In the Pac 12, Oregon's 5-4. Southern Cal second at 11-4. In the SEC, Alabama 5-6. LSU 11-4. Georgia's third at 3-1. Florida's at 6-1. Auburn 14-1. A&M is 16-1. Hey, Drake. Tennessee at 66-1. South Carolina 100-1. The only people worse are Arkansas and Vanderbilt at 250-1. And App State's a 1-2 favorite to win the Sun Belt. We finish things up, buddy, as we always do with our 2-minute drill.
Try to get 4 minutes of content into 2 minutes. It's time for the 2-minute drill on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. Now, here's Mickey.
Mickey, private aviation startup Wheels Up that we see on College Game Day every Saturday is going meals up to donate 10 million meals to nonprofit Feeding America, partnering with Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson.
How about that, man? Good news out there, right? Good news. I love seeing
it's
it.
It's out there. Just got to find it.
It is out there. And now we are, so we're seeing all kinds of positives out there as far as quarterbacks go. Are quarterbacks leading the way right now as far as what they're giving and how much they're giving?
It seems to be thus far, but a lot of people stepping up all over the place.
Yep, no doubt about it. My Tim and Joe, brought to you by Eric Newton, ericnewton.com. For all of your real estate needs, is my great friend, ericnewton.com. Anything you need in the Clemson market, he's going to take care of you. It's ericnewton.com. You need your rental properties you need managed, let them take care of it for you. It's my great friend, ericnewton.com. Quickly, on my 2-minute drill, I want to say the videos that you're seeing of shift workers coming home, the nurses coming home, the doctors coming home, the applause that you see. You're seeing that everywhere, John, or people lined up outside, or people are honking their horns when they're coming home and all stuff like that. The Empire State Building last night was lit up for first responders. So you're seeing a lot of great news out there, appreciating these heroes on the front lines of this thing. Let me thank callers, sponsors, listeners, texters, tweeters, and emailers. Let me thank John Hite, terrific job once again, and Tony Morrell. Up next, Brad and Ben, two of my favorite people. Hey, don't forget, hope you have a wonderful Tuesday. Tune in tomorrow. See you on the radio.
Broadcasting live from the